For the next 6 weeks here in our church, we're going to be in a series that our United Methodist General Commission on Religion and Race developed. It's a series about prayer in action and how, as people of faith, we're called to respond to bringing more of God's justice and goodness here in our world. So there are daily prayers that you can pray each day. We'll have those each Sunday at worship. You can pick up a copy for the upcoming week. And we'll also have a group that's going to meet on Zoom at 7 p.m. every Thursday, led by Paula Foltz, that will discuss those prayers and how we might be called in our hearts to respond. So this morning we begin with the idea of lament. Our scripture comes from Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice, because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. That psalm that we just read, it's what we called a lament psalm. Now, despite the overwhelming presence of lament psalms in our scripture, in fact, nearly one-third of the 150 psalms can be considered lament psalms, we aren't that great at talking about and practicing lament in our lives today. Now, there's a pretty obvious reason for that. We don't like to be sad. Our world teaches us that happiness is to be strived for and that sadness is to be avoided at all costs. If something bad happens to us, then anger is often considered the more acceptable response than sadness. To sit in our sadness, as these lament psalms call us to do, or even more so, to sit with somebody else in their sadness, it's not easy for us. And so, like, if you're already kind of uncomfortable today and starting to wish that maybe you hadn't come to church or you're about ready to flip off the live stream, I get it. I don't like sadness either. I'm also not very good at lament. I have a good friend who I've been friends with for over a decade, and many years ago, every time something would happen in my life that she would think was lament-worthy, she would say to me, it's okay if you need to weep. And I would always say something like, that's stupid, I don't need to weep. But over time, she started to show me that it really is okay to be sad. And now, it's okay if you need to weep is kind of our code for each other to mean that whatever you're going through, know that I will be present with you and sit with you and cry with you. Lament teaches us that it's okay if we need to weep. But that's really just the beginning. So this morning we're going to talk about what lament is and why we lament, how we lament, and where lament finally leads us. So first, what is lament? Well, lament is a form of prayer. It's a prayer of honesty and desperation. It's a prayer that comes from a place of sadness or grief or despair or injustice. It's a prayer that comes from a place where something is so clearly wrong that the only way to reach out to God is with honest sadness and desperation that God will do something about the situation. Lament shows us that it's okay to be sad and that it's okay to approach God with our full range of human emotions. There's actually a form of a lament psalm that we see in the scripture, and especially in the psalm that we read. This psalm, we know it's a prayer of King David, but we don't really get any clue about what in his life is causing him to offer this lament. Some think it may have been when his son Absalom rebelled against him, but we don't know that for sure. But this psalm, it's really the perfect example of lament. It begins with the first step of lament, a calling out to God in desperation. David cries out, "How long?" He asks in the first two verses of this psalm, "How long?" four times. Something bad is happening. Something is not right in his life. And David cries out to God, "How long is this going to continue?" David cries out in desperation, and then he asks God to do something about the situation. That's the second step of lament. David says, "Consider me and answer me, O Lord my God." David cries out in desperation, and then he asks God to change his situation, and then finally he proclaims his trust in God. David says, "But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." This is important. Lament always ends with a proclamation of who God is. Lament ends with the proclamation that we trust that God can and will do something about the situation, because that's who God is. That our God is powerful enough and loving enough and good enough to reach us and transform us, even in our darkest and saddest places. Why then do we lament? Well, actually, the form of the lament prayer also gives us the reasons why we lament. A lament begins with a cry of desperation to God. We lament because we believe that all is not right. Well, now's a good time to pause and to talk about what situations we might lament in our lives. Because lament can be both personal and communal. In fact, in the Psalms, there are about 30 personal laments, like the psalm that we read, that deal with an individual in a situation that they are going through. And at times in our lives, we offer personal laments. Lament over loss, lament over a broken relationship, lament over personal struggles, lament over health. We will all at some point have some situation in our life that will draw us towards a lament prayer. And that's probably the form of lament that we're most familiar with. But I don't want us to miss that lament is also communal. In the Psalms, there are about 12 communal laments. Communal laments are the lament we offer when something isn't right in our world or in our society. And so today we lament racism that's happened in our history and how it continues to this day. We lament that our society has continued systemic oppression that negatively affects people of color. We lament the number of children who find themselves in the foster care system. We lament the gun violence that happens in our nation. We lament that there are people in our country and in our world that don't have access to health care. We lament these things because we believe deep in our souls that they are not right, and that this isn't the way that God intends the world to be. And we lament, both personally and communally, because we believe that God hears our sadness, that God listens to our prayers. We lament because we believe that there is no depth of emotion or pain that's too much for God to hear. And then we lament because we believe that God responds. We believe and we trust that God is powerful enough and loving enough and good enough to change and to transform our situation. How then do we lament? What does lament look like in our lives? Well, there are actually many ways we can lament today. We lament through prayer. Much like the psalm, we offer laments to God in prayer. We can follow that same model, a calling out to God in desperation, asking God to do something about the situation, and a proclamation of trust in God. As we move through this prayer and action series for racial justice, each week we'll have daily prayers that you can pick up on Sunday. This week, if you pick one up, they're all lament prayers. And so you can practice communal lament together. But our prayers aren't the only way we lament. We also lament through our presence. My friend and I saying to one another, it's okay if you need to weep, and then sitting with each other through those times was an act of lament through presence. That's often how we lament with another person. We offer to be there. We listen to them. That can happen in personal and communal lament. We can listen to an individual going through a trying time. We can listen and be present with somebody impacted by the injustice, more lamenting. When we take time to hear the stories of those who are oppressed and those who suffer injustice, we lament with them. We also lament through song. Just as many of the Psalms were written to be sung, we still offer lament through song today. Many of the spirituals in the African American tradition came from lament. During the time of slavery, enslaved people wrote spirituals, which lifted in prayer to God the lament of the horrors of slavery. Now, perhaps one of the best examples of a modern-day lament song of a personal nature comes from the musical Hamilton, about the life of Alexander Hamilton. At one point in the musical, when Alexander Hamilton's son is killed, which I realize is a spoiler alert, but you've had like 8 years to see the musical and like 200 years to read a history book. So this happens, and we get a song called It's Quiet Uptown. It's a song of lament about grief and loss. The song begins with these words: there are moments that the words don't reach. There's suffering too terrible to name. You hold your child as tight as you can and push away the unimaginable. The moments when you're in so deep, it feels easier to just swim down. The Hamiltons move uptown and learn to live with the unimaginable. That's lament in song version. Finally then, where does lament lead us? Well, remember, lament always leads us to a proclamation of who God is. Lament leads us to trusting that God will transform. Lament leads us to respond with our lives. There are times, especially with communal lament, that we might have the power and the ability to work with God in the transformation. When we listen and offer presence to people in lament, we will often then have the opportunity to in some way respond to the injustice they are facing. That's what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. Lament leads us to action. Lament also leads us to proclaim who God is. At the end of his lament, King David proclaims in our scripture, "But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me." David proclaims who God is, that God is full of steadfast love, that God offers salvation, and that God gives abundantly. And for us today, there's part of lament that brings us to praise, because it calls on us to remember and to claim who God is. Oftentimes, lament will end with a remembrance of when God has acted before, as a way to claim, "God, we know that you did this before, and we believe that you will do it again." So we lament and we say, "God, we believe that you offered hope to the hopeless before, and we believe that you will do it again. God, we believe that you granted peace in the midst of despair before, and we believe that you'll do it again. God, we believe that you overcame justice before, and we believe that you will do it again. God, we believe that you freed the captive before, and we believe that you will do it again." In a few minutes, our Catalyst for Change group is going to lead us in a celebration of Juneteenth. Now, despite the recent rise of Juneteenth in our culture, Juneteenth was originally a church holiday. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated Pentecost to say that, "God, we believe that you gave your Holy Spirit to the church, and we believe that you will do that again." And on Juneteenth, we say, "God, we believe that you freed the oppressed, and we believe that you can do that again, too." That's where lament leads us, to proclaim the power of God, to proclaim the love of God, to proclaim the goodness of God. But before I hand it over to the Catalyst Group to lead us in celebration, I want us to stay in lament for just one more minute. I want to lead us in a prayer of lament that comes from Reverend Gigi Warren in the daily prayers for this week. Let us pray. Gracious, holy, and loving God, we find ourselves in a time of great sorrow. Because we are weary, we lament. Because our hearts are broken, we lament. Because our spirits are crushed, we lament. Because our souls want to faint, we lament. And when we lament, you are near. When we lament, you are the breath of life. When we lament, you are the one that sustains us. Thank you, Lord, that when we are weak, you are strong. Thank you, Lord, that you are our help and our rescuer. Thank you, Lord, that weeping moves us beyond sadness into compassion. Thank you, Lord, that even in lament, you take delight in us. Thank you for the gift of lament, so that we do more than just regret our circumstances. We also resolve to wait patiently on you to see us through. In Jesus' name, amen.